Good morning. Man, what wonderful worship this morning. I tell you what, I was so excited whenever these songs started playing and it was all pumped up and upbeat. I thought, we got up early this morning and had sunrise service. And if you wasn't here, we missed you. But I'm thankful for all that came out. And then we had a wonderful meal. So I figure about now, I'm going to have to really be on my game to keep you all awake. So I thank you for the pump up and the get the blood flowing and just hang on a few minutes and I'll get my word in and we'll do a little more of that. Great to see you all this morning. It's just wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And on this Resurrection Day, man, oh man, what a day we get to be in the house of the Lord and just celebrate what He has done for us, the price He's paid. The last several weeks, we have been in a series called The Way Revealed. And we've been talking about this path that Jesus was on, headed straight with His face set like flint to that cross because He had a job to do. You know, we may think that, man, I can't believe what they did to Him. But they did nothing that He didn't allow. He laid His life down for us and He said this is the way it has to be. He did it for us. And man, what a blessing we have in that. So today, the title of the sermon is Proofs in the Pudding. Have you ever heard that saying, proofs in the pudding? I mean, I've heard it a lot, but I've never really thought about what in the world is the proof in the pudding. I mean, where does that come from? So I looked it up, and it says that it has an older form. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So that means that the best way to determine if something is good or valuable is to try it out, to test it, to experience it directly. It emphasizes that actual results and concrete evidence are more important than the claims. So we're going to be looking today at some evidence. You know, we have a Jesus who has made claims. You know, we've seen in the last several weeks how He's made claims of being the Lord. And ultimately, what took Him to the cross was a charge of blasphemy, of Him saying that He was God. So how could this be? If He was claiming to be God, how could we stop this? And the religious people of the time who were looking for the Messiah and have seen all these wonders right before their face didn't see it. But yet, Jesus had to do what He had to do. So we're going to look for the proof that's in the pudding this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Now, this morning we finished up Luke 23, and we've seen Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Christ off the cross, preparing the body for burial, and putting Him in the tomb, him and Nicodemus, and the women were there as well. And they all seen His body go to rest in this tomb. So we have proof that God, that Jesus Christ, He did die. His body was dead. We have full proof of that. And we're going to go on and get, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story this morning. If you would, in the honor of the reading of God's Word, would you please stand? Again, we're going to be looking at Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other woman with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths laying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for that word to become life in Jesus Christ. To live out everything that you said you would do for us. And as we look at your word today, we see it revealed that this man named Jesus was not only a man, but he was God. He was a Savior, hung on a cross to pay a debt that we could not pay. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that grace, and I'm so thankful for that payment that was made. Lord, I love you. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So let's examine these scriptures and see what proof we can find in the pudding. Let's ask the question, is Jesus who he says he is? And does he do what he says he'll do? So first, let's look at this. Let's look at what he said. Mark 14, verses 61 and 62, Jesus says, "But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus says, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" Jesus' response in this instant was, "I am." Have we ever heard that before? We think back into the Old Testament. In Exodus 3, verse 14 says, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you to me.'" This is Jesus declaring that he is God. This is God speaking out to his people, saying, "I am who I am. I am the Messiah, the Son of God, fully man, yet fully God, sent to save mankind from death, sent here on a purpose, one and one purpose only." Another verse of scriptures, John 4, verse 25 and 26, says, "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' And Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" Jesus is declaring, "I am he. I am this Messiah that you're seeking." And then we look on into Matthew 16, verses 16 through 17. Simon Peter answered him and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for your flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." John chapter 14, verses 8 through 9 says, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us.' And Jesus said to him, 'I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father.'" And I can go on and on with scripture verses of Jesus' claims of who he is, that he is God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who has come to pay the debt that we cannot pay. So all the righteous leaders of the time felt they had to put a stop to this. And the only way they could stop it is death. Now I'm sure there had been many other people just like this that had come and they had claimed and they may have done some good deeds or something. And they may have claimed, hey, I'm the Messiah. That was the big thing. Everybody was looking for the Messiah. Everybody was following the law. You know, let's keep the law. Let's look for the Messiah. But nobody's eyes were open. And whenever the one came, and all the miracles and all the things pointed that he is who he says he is, very few saw. We see this death on the cross. Joseph and Nicodemus laid the body away, and now the Sabbath is come and gone, and it's Sunday. Church, no matter how hard times get, just remember Sunday did come. Can you just imagine everything that they were going through at that time? Just thinking back from the Passover, they had the Passover meal. It was a long and exhausting thing. Just think about Thanksgiving dinner or something. You know, a big time together, a lot of work, a lot of preparation, a lot of people. The buzz around the city, the whole city was packed with people, and I'm sure it was a fight to get to the market and gather everything they needed and just everything going on. And then late that night, they enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're trying to find a place of rest, but yet the burden is really weighing on Jesus of what's ahead of him. In just moments, men would sweep in to arrest him. We see Jesus worry about his disciples, begging them to pray for the things that are coming, to pray that they can withstand the temptations at hand. We see Jesus praying and asking, Lord, if there be any other way. But we also see a Jesus that's willing and knows that he has a job to do. And he's willing to do that job because of the love he has for us. He wants to fulfill his purpose. They arrest Jesus, and right away they start beating on him, torturing him physically. An innocent man. They take him to Pilate. They take him to Herod because they want a charge of blasphemy. They want him to be put to death so that this will be put to an end. But they find no charges. At the most, because Jesus stayed quiet, they found him in contempt. But that was it. No charges of death. But the Sanhedrin insisted. This man blasphemed. He says that he is God. And for this, the penalty is death. This would put the end to it. This would make it over. Jesus died on that cross. And we often see the cross, you know, lit. A beautiful reminder of this. And we hang it on the wall and we have it around. Hang it around our necks possibly. And it's that wonderful cross. But by no means was this a wonderful time. The skies were darkened. He was getting mocked. And he was doing this for the people that were doing this to him. For each and every person, he was doing this for them. He was paying a debt that there was no way any of us could pay. No matter how good we are, no matter what works we do, no matter what law we follow, there's no way we can pay the debt that he paid for us. He died on that cross, and then Joseph of Arimathea took the body down, Nicodemus, and they put the body away. And now we're going to look at this account. Starting in verse 24, it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Nicodemus had brought all these spices, but with the rush of the Sabbath, I'm sure they didn't have time to use them properly and to properly prepare this body for death, for the long haul. Now you think about, what did Jesus say? What were the things that Jesus told his people? Things similar to This temple could be torn down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. They all thought that that was just hilarious. You know, it took years to build this temple. How can you build it in 3 days? But the power wasn't in the temple. The power was in Christ. The power was in the body of our Savior. That's the temple that was rebuilt. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and other women went to the tomb. They came to the tomb to finish preparing the body for its final resting. And on the way there, the other Gospels record their conversation of them being curious of how are we going to roll this stone away to even get to the body. You know, they talk about this massive stone and a guard had been appointed to stay there and the stone was sealed. And how are we going to get in to even prepare the body? It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. An angel had rolled the stone away. We see that in another gospel. Why did this angel roll the stone away? Was it to let Jesus out? No, he didn't need to be let out. But this world needed to see that he had risen. And with that stone blocking the way, we would have never known. But he opened the door and he's gone. The linen cloths are there where he once laid. But the Savior is risen. That's what we all need to know. Folks, if you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, please know that you have a debt that you cannot pay. But Jesus Christ paid that debt on the cross for each and every one of us. And it's available to you. All you have to do is grab onto it. Just have faith. Just like the criminal that was on the cross that said, Jesus, please remember me when you enter into your kingdom. That faith, all you have to do is just believe that He is Jesus Christ, that He is Lord and Savior, that He died for you. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by in shining garments. The ladies thought that His body had been taken. They couldn't understand why this was happening. You know, everything that went on, and now, here we go again. I can see many people in this account of Jesus looking for the right thing, but not being able to see what is right in front of them. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. All the miracles and great wonders that Jesus did pointed to Him, but they denied Him. The disciples had been with Jesus. Some had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, but yet on the third day, they should have been looking for Him. But they were hid away, trying to stay safe. Where do you stand today, my friends? Are you in need of a Savior? Let me tell you, the proof is in the pudding. That grave is empty. Had that been just another man, the grave would still be full and we would have no hope. But He is risen. The payment was accepted. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Had these things that Jesus claimed been false, He would have been dead. But He's not here. He's risen. He lives today. And because He lives, we have hope. that we can too. John 20, verse 11 through 18 says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. He said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She supposed him to be the gardener. Said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned to him, 'Rabboni.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." She had seen the Lord. He had risen. That just don't happen. Proof's in the pudding. Goes on to say, "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they didn't believe." That's what I'm saying. They didn't believe. This frustrates me. They see these things. They should have been looking for these things. And I pray that we all can look at our lives and see that we're sinners. And see that we have a Savior. All we have to do is put our faith in Him and we can be saved. We can have the promise of an eternity in heaven with all of those who have gone on before us, who had faith in Christ. We will all be able to gather together and worship in eternity forever. But I know there's some that won't believe. "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Power over life. Power over death. He has that power in his hands. And he lets us make the decision. Do we live and go to heaven? Or do we die and go to hell? Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? You have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. Do you accept this proof of what he has done? Do we choose life or do we choose death? And to choose not to choose is to choose. In Matthew 28, we're called to evangelize. to baptize, and to educate. Let's go into this world and share hope that we have from the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that is our charge, is to go into this world and share. To love God and put Him first. To love your neighbor. Man, it's been so wonderful this morning being in God's house with all of you and just to be able to share the words with each other and to share hugs and just to love on each other. But there's a whole world out here that needs to see this. We're here today. We'll be here next Sunday if the good Lord's willing. I invite you all back, but as you go out this week, share that love with everyone you come into contact with. Meet needs that need to be met that you're able to, that the Lord's blessed you with the means to meet. And if you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, let this Easter be a day that you can write down for eternity. That this change was made in my life. That I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And that I know with all assurance that I'm going to get to spend eternity in heaven. Without Jesus Christ, there is no promise of that. There is no hope of that. All you have to do is to call on His name. And if you need to do that, let today be the day. Come and share that with me. If you have questions, come and I will gladly walk you through the process and talk to you more about it. But do not, if you are feeling any tug on your heart, do not block it away. Take those steps today. Take that first step. Give in to Him and say, Lord, I want You to be my Savior. That's all it takes. In just a few moments, you'll have the opportunity to respond. If you need to pray, if you need to come to this altar, if you need to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, be down front. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I just can't say it enough. I just can't get over the fact that all things should have ended at death. But knowing that You are the Lord and Savior and that You are God, that You have power over death, that You died on that cross and You paid a payment that was so great. I know the debt that I owed myself was great, but You paid the debt of the whole world. If we should just accept that, we can spend eternity with You in heaven, with our families in heaven. What a wonderful hope that is. I pray that if there's anybody in this house today, dear Lord, that needs to come to know You as Lord and Savior, that they will call on Your name, that right now they would just pray, Lord, please forgive me. I am a sinner. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. And save me today. Jesus, I love You. And I'm so thankful for the salvation that You have given me. I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.